Untitled, Elder Thomas E. McKay, Thomas E. McKay, Conference Report, October 1943, pages 60-64. While at luncheon today with my family, there was a lull in the conversation, and one of my daughters remarked that she hoped Daddy would be called upon in this afternoon's session, so he could quit worrying and join with us in conversation. Appreciation for conference meetings. I trust, my brethren, that I shall be inspired and guided in what I say this afternoon. It seems to me that at each general or state conference that I attend, I sense more keenly the great responsibility resting upon those who are called upon to speak, and I confess that I do worry, and the habit, I fear, is getting worse instead of better as time goes on. I appreciate the opportunity, however, of meeting you fine brethren here and especially in your stakes, and am very thankful that we can still meet in this great historic building, even if it is under some restrictions. I hope with you that the time will soon come when these restrictions will be removed, that natural conditions will prevail and we can again have our wives, mothers, and sisters meet with us. European mission conditions. I am very happy for the privilege of again reporting briefly on conditions existing in the European missions. As far as we can learn, our members are still carrying on in each of the 12 missions that comprise the European group. There are now about 32,000 members. We are still able to correspond with the British, the Palestine Syrian, the South African, the Swedish, and the Swiss missions. However, our letters to Switzerland are all return stamp service suspended return to sender, but we do get mail from Switzerland. We were very happily surprised a few weeks ago to receive several copies of a new book from Basel, Switzerland. Brother Max Zimmer, the acting mission president of the Swiss mission, has translated the series of lectures by Elder Joseph Fielding Smith, given about 2 years ago. These were printed in the church section of the Deseret News, and Brother Zimmer has translated them into the German language and had them printed. We still get letters and reports regularly from the French Swiss district. A very successful district conference was held at La Chaux-de-Fonds, May 16, where special tribute was paid to Brother Henri Chapuis, president of the Lausanne branch for many years, who died February 18. He is the father of our brother Gaston Chapuis, and another son is at present presiding over the Basel branch in the Swiss mission. Another son is a major in the Swiss army. A fine new hall has been secured for the Geneva branch. By way of Switzerland, we also received rather surprising news that a member of our Paris branch, a young lady, is singing leading opera roles in France and Switzerland, so they are still carrying on in Paris. We received, also via Switzerland, the sad news of the recent death of Sister Aurore Horbach, of Liege. All the missionaries who have labored in Liege will remember her and her husband, who was president of that branch for years, and also mission translator until the time of his death in 1935. He translated the Articles of Faith into French, and also many of our hymns. Letters and reports continue to come quite regularly from the Palestine Syrian and the South African missions. Comoros Southern Messenger, the 16-page monthly publication of the South African mission, would be a credit to any mission. Through the assistance of the Red Cross Correspondence Department, we have heard recently from Denmark Copenhagen. This message came just last week. It was dated June 24. Dear President McKay, we send greetings to you and the church. We are all well and safe. Write, if possible, sincerely, Orson B. West. A similar message has also been received from the Netherlands mission. When we left Europe, the headquarters were at The Hague, but this message just received last week comes from Utrecht, and was dated April 12, 1943. Holland Church all well, live in beautiful home at Utrecht. Jacob Shippenbord. Excerpts from letters from Sweden and Denmark. Very interesting letters and very complete reports are still received from the Swedish mission, although they are censored by both the English and the Germans. From these letters we hear indirectly from the Norwegian and the Danish missions. The following are excerpts from the last letter dated August 5, 1943. I hereby forward the statistical and financial reports for the months of June and July. We read with interest about the conferences you have held and happy that they were so blessed in results. I am particularly thankful to our Heavenly Father that we also, in our country, have been able to hold our meetings and conferences. June 23 to 27 we held our great MIA conference in Göteborg, with participants, both old and young, from many different places in our land, thus further fortifying the singular unity and love existing among the saints in the mission. Participants from Finland and Norway in our midsummer conference had been announced, but permission to travel abroad was refused them, which we very much regretted. This is interesting. The Danish mission has published a book entitled The Truth About Mormonism, by Reed Smoot, In the reviews of which many newspapers have printed a great deal about the church, a copy of the picture of the Prophet Joseph Smith in the book having even accompanied some of the write-ups, it has come to my knowledge that relatives of the former missionary to Denmark, by name of Homer P. Anderson, had received information that in a raid over Germany, Anderson had been forced to make a landing, and was interned. He was well and not suffering for anything. He had asked his relatives in Norway to forward greetings to the parents, which commission I carried out by sending a letter to Hans P. Anderson, 326 West 1st South Street, Logan, Utah. I hope that that communication has reached them. I have received deplorable information from Norway that their mission periodical, Lis over Norge, which under normal conditions was issued semi-monthly and later was retrenched to a monthly issue, has by order of the Trade Department been discontinued altogether. It is also now clear to me that a great need of provisions exists and that the aged, especially, are hard hit. I have therefore decided to go to Oslo, if permission can be had for traveling abroad, to personally find out what can be done. Presumably the church here in our country must try to organize some source whereby our members in the Norwegian mission can be assisted. I believe President McKay will agree with me that we must try to do something to help them. British Annual District Conferences. In the British mission they have just concluded their annual district conferences, and I quote, "Never have we experienced a greater evidence of unity and faith among our members, and the Spirit of the Lord has been present in rich abundance at every conference." An annual mission-wide priesthood conference has also been held. The 60 brethren present will never forget the three-day conference attended by the marvelous manifestation of the Spirit of the Lord, message from Boy Overseas. May I also take this opportunity of reading just two paragraphs from a letter from one of our boys in the service received by his parents. He has been overseas nearly 3 years, much of the time in countries belonging to the European mission. When we joined up I resolved to come back the same way I left. I have been away nearly 3 years, and I am still going return home the same. I have no difficulty in keeping the word of wisdom. I do not swear and have never had any need to do so. I still say my prayers and have had them answered many times. I have been lucky to always have companions and friends who are clean in habits. Some smoke but know that it is not good for them and try to quit. You have always taught me at home to have clean habits, read good literature, associate with people who have high standards. You have always shown me the way. My ambition has always been to live so that you would be proud to call me your son, as I have always been proud of you, my parents. I miss the church a great deal. The principles taught in the church have always been a great source of comfort and satisfaction to me. I always know that I have a higher aid as long as I live in accordance with his teachings. I know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the true church. I have always endeavored to show to others by my actions, as well as by my teachings, my sincerity. That letter, brethren, is typical of thousands of others that are received by parents whose sons are in all parts of the world serving their country, fighting for the perpetuation of man's free agency, the same principle for which we fought in our pre-existent state. The leader of that rebellion and his followers were defeated and cast out of heaven, and they are here on earth still fighting truth, determined to deprive us of our free agency. We here at home must not let our boys down, 40,000 of them in all parts of the world. Let us wholeheartedly get behind every movement that would hasten the victory in this war against wickedness, a plea for love in the home. And may I suggest in closing that during these unsettled, uncertain conditions, we're all, not only those in uniform, but also those of us at home, are under a strain, that we be more tolerant, show a little more kindness and tenderness, and consideration towards our wives and children, and our neighbors. We are liable, if we are not careful, in an unguarded moment to say or do things that we otherwise would not do or say. So let us guard our tongues, never say an unkind word to our loved ones in the home. When I speak of unkind words, I am reminded of the old settler's story, written around the theme contained in these words: "Boys flying kites all in their white winged birds, but you can't do that when your flying words, thoughts, unexpressed, may sometimes fall back dead, but God himself can't kill them when they're said." So let us never say unkind words. Kind words are sweet tones of the heart. I love that song very much. Let us oft speak kind words to each other, at home or wherever we may be. Like the warbling of birds on the heather, the tones will be welcome and free. They'll gladden the heart that's repining, give courage and hope from above. And where the dark clouds hide the shining, let in the bright sunlight of love. Oh, the kind words we give shall in memory live, and sunshine forever impart. Let us oft speak kind words to each other. Kind words are sweet tones of the heart. May the Lord help us, brethren, to carry out in our lives the thoughts expressed in those words, and follow the admonition of our Savior to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.